Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. My name is Siri D'Arteaga, and I am so thankful that you're tuning in to another summer edition of the show. This week, we're going to be taking a closer look at Berlin's fast-track naturalization program. If someone has been already through it and has something to share, please let us know. We would love to know how it has been for you. And of course, we need to talk about why Germany's Interior Minister Alexander Dobrindt isn't a fan. And that is because he's calling for more in-person checks to ensure applicants fully committed to Germany's democratic values. In our cultural segment, we're going to be staying local, literally, because since summer's in full swing, or at least that's what our head is saying, we're exploring the growing appeal of Balkonien. This is the art of turning your own balcony into a staycation paradise. So from urban gardening to quiet grill nights, we're going to be showing you why more Germans are trading jet lag for deck chairs. I also think that this has to do a little bit about the rising cost of traveling, but staycation is always a great idea. And this week, we're going to be interviewing Berlin-based comedian Kat. She has been navigating Berlin's life for this past 7 years. From dating to Bergheim to the chaos of German politics, we covered it all with plenty of laughs. So let's get started. Let's take a look at this week's top stories from Germany. First, Interior Minister Alexander Dobrindt from the CSU is criticizing Berlin's digitized naturalization process. In response to a dramatic increase in citizenship applications, 40,000 are expected this year, nearly double from 2024. Dobrindt has warned that digital-only procedures risk bypassing crucial personal vetting. He stressed that applicants must clearly affirm their commitments to Germany's democratic values. This is including its historical responsibility to protect Jewish life. Berlin's immigration office, he argues, may be prioritizing efficiency over accuracy. Meanwhile, a new report shows that Germany is no longer Europe's top beer producer. That is a tough one. For the first time since 2013, Russia has now overtaken Germany by producing over 9.1 billion liters in 2025. German production dropped slightly, reflecting declining beer consumption and rising costs in the brewing industry. I also think that Gen Z is not drinking as much as we millennials did, but that's just my take in here. In asylum policy, new figures show a growing backlog. The average processing time for asylum application has jumped to over 13 months. Before that, it was 8.7 last year. Largely, this is due to a decision freeze on Syrian cases. Over 52,000 Syrian applications remain unsolved, prompting criticism from opposition lawmakers. Meanwhile, asylum numbers overall have dropped by 43% in the first half of 2025. And some good news for low-income workers, because Germany's minimum wage will rise to €13.90 per hour in January 2026, with another increase to €14.60 planned for 2027. This change will especially benefit women and part-time workers, including those in mini-jobs. And that's it for this week's headlines. If you'd like to read more about any of these stories, head over to plus49.de. Not every summer needs a plane ticket. According to a new survey by energy provider E.ON and Researchers Institute CV, over 40% of Germans say that they are not planning a summer vacation this year, up from 30% last year. So whether by choice or necessity, more and more people are discovering the charm of staying at home. And in Germany, that often means one thing, Balkonien. Balkonien is a playful nickname for spending your holidays on the balcony. Isn't just about budget-friendly Plan B. For many, it is a conscious lifestyle choice. Why deal with airports, overpriced hotels, or packed tourist spots when your own outdoor oasis is just one step away? With the right setup, a comfy chair, some fairy lights, and maybe an Apfelschorle in hand, or an Aperol in my case, even a modest balcony can feel like a mini Mediterranean escape. The rise of Balkonien is strongest in Mecklenburg-Vorpommern and in the Saarland, where 37% of people say they prefer to stay at home from their own time off. In Hamburg, Niedersachsen, Berlin, and Bavaria, around 32 to 35% report more or less the same thing. A well-beloved balcony setup typically includes a good sunshade, comfy seating, and most importantly, plants. Lots of them. I am in my grandma stage in life, so I have a lot of plants in my balcony and I love it. So I can just recommend this, because from geraniums to lavender to tomatoes and basils, balcony gardens are an extension of Germany's long love affair with horticulture. I've never really had a lavender, if to be honest, because they don't really grow as much as I would love to, but hortensias and geraniums are very good for that. Anyhow, so Germans are very passionate gardeners. My grandma definitely was one of them. And even without a backyard, many city dwellers turn their balconies into lush, edible, and fragrant sanctuaries. For those lucky enough to have a Schrebergarten, this is kind of this small rented garden plot on the outskirts of town, it's a whole other level of garden culture. These little green spaces, first popularized in the 19th century as a response to urbanization, offer not only fresh veggies and flowers, but community, rest, and a tangible connection to nature. Well, these are traditionally associated with retirees. Younger generations are now rediscovering the joys of digging in the dirt, grilling with friends, and sipping radler in a hammock under apple trees. By the way, it's not hammock, it's hamaca. And let's not forget the culinary perk. Kicking off the evening with a cold Apfelschorle, filling up the fire grill, and dining al fresco under fairy lights. These small rituals turn Balkonien into something magical. Plus, you can always roll out your yoga mat for a morning stretch or tend to your basil between Zoom calls. So whether it's a six-floor balcony in Kreuzberg or a family garden in Brandenburg, summer in Germany is a celebration of small pleasures, even if it's raining. So if you haven't booked a trip this year, don't worry. You might just find the most relaxing place just around your door. And if you have one, share it with us. I'm definitely not going to start this podcast with the normal part. I'm going to start with a quick question to Kat, who is joining us. So Kat, how about dating in Berlin?
Dating in Berlin? Ooh, controversial questions. You know, there's so many comedians that have written material about this and everybody's always like, dating in Berlin is so hard. Dating in Berlin is so hard. And it fucking is, okay? It fucking is. Everybody is emotionally withdrawn and too busy, you know, doing drags third day in a row in Berghain. It's hard to find a slot when they're available for a quickie. Or joining the polycule, obviously, because everyone is poly. I mean, I'm poly too these days. I don't even know anymore.
We're just all doing anything.
Moments when I am back on all the apps, from Tinder to FetLife even, and, you know, I'm just out there for a week or two. I have a fresh wind, and I'm ready to date. And then I decide everybody sucks and I'm just going to hang out with my dog and I just stop replying to everyone. That's my status.
And definitely Berlin is a place to get a therapist.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't get a therapist from Berlin. I
don't. For Berlin.
Yeah, for Berlin, but I would never get a German therapist. No, it's enough trauma to already live in Germany and then on top of that get a German person telling you what you did wrong. I imagine German therapists be like this. They just point out your mistakes without any fluff, you know, just brutally honest, crying after every session.
I do believe that that's kind of the reason why we are in Berlin, because we needed to have a little bit of therapy, but we couldn't afford a normal person. So we came to Berlin and then we decided that, oh, look, this city is a free walking therapy because it's cold, it's brutally honest, and you don't have to take anything serious or personal. Otherwise, you will probably want to go back home.
You probably also never have to grow up either. It's kind of like if you want to, you can be a child. Let's call it nurturing your inner child. Some call it emotional immaturity, whatever. You can milk that for ages.
And you can party for ages. This next weekend, it's going to be a rave for the planet. And have you ever been to Bergheim?
I have, yes.
How is it?
You're asking like you've never been. You know, Bergheim is nobody talks about Bergheim.
Oh, yeah, I know. But try to give us like that sort of spice, because everybody that comes to Berlin, they're like, oh my God, Bergheim. And the only thing that I know for Bergheim, because yes, I've never been there, is that the bouncer is called Marquardt, like my last name. So that's a fun fact that hasn't brought me very far away, because I've never been to Bergheim. So you don't talk about Bergheim, but still.
I mean, I can talk about Bergheim. It was sweaty and sexy and crowded, and the sound was good, but so was the ketamine. So a bit of a blur.
As you can see, we talk a little bit about everything at the moment. I will introduce you now, Kat. You have been already in Berlin for a couple of years now, and you have your own comedy show.
Yes, I have a female collective called Queen Bee's Comedy. We run different shows around town every month. Yes, female and queer shows predominantly, yeah.
We're back with Kat. Kat has her own comedy show, and she's part of... are you three girls?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can see her in...
In autumn, because we're having a summer break. So
are you gonna go on summer pause? That German are you already?
I gotta say 2-3 years we've been doing a break, and it's also about enjoying. Autumn is always, and winter is always, people go inside more, it's hard to fill the seats, and also I want to enjoy the summer, you know, it's the best time in Berlin, so I don't want to keeping my evenings off free just in case if we have a show with three people that end up wandering in, and then you know you can't smoke, you can't have a drink because you have to be sober for the show. It limits your enjoyment a little bit. So it's good to have a clear schedule.
Well, there are a couple of things that are very good that the Germans do and that we're currently adapting. Summer pause, it's a very good thing. Do you still have something that you were saying like, yeah, I've incorporated this into my life as now a new German?
As a new German, yeah, 7 years, it's been a while. I guess my accent changed and I was non-consensual. I used to sound way more British kind of English. I lived in the UK for a long time. And then since I moved here, my German still nicht so gut, but my English got worse. I think I just work with a lot of Germans with an English accent, and a lot of people abroad think I'm German now, which is crazy.
Interesting.
So I don't know how I feel about this as a Polish person. I guess it's fine. But yeah, I'm studying German again. So I'm like, at least I'll have more power to prove it that I am.
But Polish is very complicated.
Language. Yeah, it is. It's one of the hardest languages to learn in the world.
And then you decided to not only learn Polish as from your mother tongue, you also decided to move to Germany and speak German. So is there anything in this Berlin life that has been a little bit easier?
Easier than because I'm Polish or?
Easier because you're not learning Spanish, for instance, because Spanish is a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah. Well, the will to live goes away much faster. you know, watching news helps too, but... I guess getting by is much easier with the basic German I have. Let's not exaggerate here. That is very good. And it's just about the willingness sometimes, you know, to also try versus just be one of these expats that we all are a little bit, which is just come in here and, you know, steal your resources and your women and your men and electricity and, yeah.
But we already established that there are not so many women and men to... We are just bringing them joy, in your case, bringing them joy with a nice comedy and a nice laugh about themselves as well, because sometimes it's good to laugh about yourself.
Yes, Germans are similar to Polish, though. We struggle a little bit with take things with a pinch of, not everything is literal, you know? Polish also, the certain type of cabaret that was popular in comedy for years kind of rubbed up a thing on the public preferences. There's no fact heckling like German heckling. When people tell you, well, this is not factually correct. You can have sex when you're 14, not 16, and it's legal still. And you're like, how do you know this fact? And also, it's only when you're also a teenager. Anyway, we will fact check you. My friend was doing a joke that she's going to be the next Angela Merkel. And somebody said, you cannot be that because you're not born in Germany. You got the citizenship, but you cannot be this. And obviously, it was a joke, but it's interesting how facts matter here.
Yes, indeed. Facts matter, and it's a matter of fact that we have to go for a music break. So, dear Kat, you have your own show, and for us that have not been able to see you
yet,
what happens when we enter your little world?
I wouldn't call it that little. Pretty big room. I'm swimming on you right now. I'm being factual.
Okay, I'm so sorry. See, you're becoming Sommerpause and factual. You're becoming German, my dear.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the criticizing. I've also dated a few Germans. It rubs off on you, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's the bad part, to be honest.
Yeah. I want to be more chill. No, the show, we do different locations, but usually you come in, you get a drink, you grab a seat, and then one of us, Anya, me, or Carmen, we host the show. So we'll talk to the audience a little bit, banter a little bit, and then we have various acts. Depending on the show, if it's an open mic, people will be trying more new material. If it's like a more experienced showcase, there'll be more experienced acts delivering like well-tried and tested jokes. But yeah, it's just heaps of fun. So everybody who's listening should come and check it out.
Yes, please do that. You do have an Instagram account.
I do have an Instagram account. It's called Queen Bee's Comedy. And my personal account is Catnip Presents with a K. I also am working on my new solo show that I'll be touring already from September. It's about last 2 years and how I quit drinking and got into drugs. I'm being funny, but kind of true. I am a stoner now. So I have I've transitioned from a heavy drinker to a heavy smoker.
It is kind of complicated to go without any alcohol in Germany. And I don't know, like being Mexican, we don't drink that much, even though we do have tequila, but we only do it over the weekend. So arriving to Germany, where everybody's drinking literally on the streets, you're kind of facing this new like, oh, I now can go and sip something in the street. So I will do that now. And then one drink comes to the next one and the next one, and everybody's having their Weinchen here and there. And even in a business lunch in the middle of the day, they're already starting. And yeah. So my point being here is, is it that complicated, or is it more complicated to go off alcohol in Germany?
I mean, Poland is obviously much worse. In Poland, they would never allow us to drink on the street because people would just pull out big bottles of vodka and get trashed on the street. So at least Germany knows how to moderate. So they are able to have a couple of beers on the street and chill. I think it's hard everywhere. Obviously, alcohol is such a big part of our society and social lubricant allowed everywhere. But, you know, a lot of people are quitting these days. A lot of people are choosing to cut down, or they don't do it during the week. People smoke, do other things. So, yeah, it's much easier. But, yeah, you know, I'm also getting older. I had to cut down. The hangover is just getting too much. So it's coming for all of us.
There is actually a study that says that Gen Z is drinking less than we are.
Yes, so much less. Some of them, quarter of Gen Z's never tried an alcoholic drink. So people in their 20s never drank an alcoholic drink. And a lot of them don't drink at all. But I get it. Like, I mean, when we were drinking, when we were underaged, we would just get fucked up and nobody cared what's... And now it's everybody's filming you. Everything can leak online. You're constantly worried about, being watched and filmed. So I think that's a big part of it too. And also they're way more self-conscious, health conscious, mental health conscious. They know shit. I mean, I admire Gen Zs a lot. When I was in my 20s, I didn't know what was happening in the world. Obviously, not as much crazy shit was happening as it's happening now. But yeah, I was just up for a party and they know so much and they care about environment and queer issues and, you know, yeah. Not everybody. Of course, there's incels out there that too. But overall, I applaud you.
So Gen Zs are definitely going also to your show.
Yes, and also on my dates, yes. I do have a preference for a slightly younger demographic.
Are you telling me you're a sugar mommy?
I wouldn't say a sugar mommy. I'm not paying that much. I'm not sponsoring. I'm just, you know, advising, being wise. It's easy to impress a teenager. No. I'm joking. It's legal age, guys. Legal.
I think Madeleine is, our producer, is starting to look at us like, yeah, you definitely are older than me. And Madeleine is definitely also a Gen Z. And I think Kat and myself are in the same age range. So we're already talking about dating. So Kat has been in Berlin for over 7 years. And she comes from Poland. She has been living also in London and has a little bit of experience in comedy, or a lot of experience in comedy. Is it easy? Is it a path for everyone? Of course, nothing is a path for everyone. But I think a lot of people like have them inside of them, like this idea of, oh, I would love to say this out loud, but I can't because I don't know how to say it. And then they're in front of people and they don't know how. So how was your path into becoming a comedian?
I've always been a person that did random courses. Like I've tried tap dancing and fencing and piano. I had a dream that fencing was going to be my thing. And then it wasn't totally. I've tried one class and I was like, this is too hard on my thighs. But comedy was kind of similar. I met a girl who was doing an improv course. And then I thought, oh, that sounds fun. Let me just do it as an activity. And I actually did Caroline Clifford's Introduction to Stand-Up Comedy course, which obviously doesn't teach you how to be funny, but it's more like you get together in a group, you get to practice different styles of writing jokes and perform it in kind of like a respectful and supportive circle that gives you feedback after. Because a lot of times you think it's funny, but it's only funny to you or to your friends, not to general public. So yeah, after that, I kind of got hooked. I started doing open mics and then I was like, maybe this is not a thing I'm going to give up on after a month, like with everything else. And that was, I think, 6 years ago, six, maybe 7 years ago. So since then, a lot of shit happened. We started a collective. Last year, I got really into writing, like TV show writing. I'm currently trying to sell a TV show that I've worked on as well. Yeah, so yeah, it's been a fun adventure, not going to lie. I met a lot of crazy people. Everybody in comedy scene, you know, delusion, egos, unresolved mental health issues, and substance abuse. That's a classic, but it makes it fun.
When you're in a show with the people that come to your show, is there something that you can say about your audience, like international people? Like, for instance, Mexicans were always very loud. But on the other side, I also know that Italians and Greeks are also very loud. Is there like
okay, you want me to be racist towards which nation now? Just name the names. I'm ready.
Okay, I will start with my own nation. So Latin Americans, how are Latin Americans in your show?
I've never had like massive groups, but they're usually super friendly and up for laughing. I've done a show in Rio randomly. I had an hour show and I was like, sure, people will not laugh or find this relevant, but it was honestly one of the best gigs I've had. It was, yeah, everybody was so lovely and really had fun. So pass. Come. You can come to my shows.
Okay, perfect. Then we've established that we're definitely going. And Marlene, who's in Passau, she's also coming. Is there any place in the world that you would love also to perform?
Yeah, LA is on my list. I've never done LA yet. And obviously it's a big comedy, the ultimate, if not, yeah, the main comedy kind of goal. So I guess that's on my list next, yeah.
As a Mexican, I cannot longer go to the US. So if you do, I wish you a lot of luck.
Yeah, I'm actually going in 2 days to New York. So I need to watch out. Yeah, I need to check out my social media accounts. What have I posted?
You can tell us a little bit about your experience post-Trump, but as a European, I think it's a little bit different that what Mexicans are and Latin Americans are experiencing there.
For sure. It's crazy shit. Yeah.
Is there any favorite topic you like to talk in your stand-ups?
I mostly just talk about what's kind of been happening to me. So I've recently started talking about my dog because I've adopted a young rescue from Turkey. Pickle, her name is. So I have a dog now. You know, if you're going on a date with me, be prepared that if you say something stupid, I might use it. I have been on a date with a guy recently who, when I told him about some stuff about Gaza, he said, oh, I didn't follow the news because I'm more into Ukraine war. So, you know, interesting. Yeah.
Was this pause to reflect on your inner thoughts? Because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's me these days when I go on dates. The political stuff is it's a must, you know. I think in the past we were maybe more lenient in terms of, but like, hey, are you interested in genocide or not? That's kind of, that's kind of no-brainer for me. So, and I get it, of course, you know, what's happening in Ukraine is awful and tragic too. But this is not to compare by any means.
There are hard topics happening outside. And I mean, it definitely is, it eases you out when you can look at what you've been dealing with and what you're living and see it with a little bit of humor.
Yeah, I think that's what we all need at the moment too. Sometimes a little bit of escape. Go out, have a laugh. Yeah, times are rough for us all. And we thought in Germany we're safe, but turns out, no.
I don't think, I mean, there's even this comparative things in an Instagram saying that the only place that can be safe, it's Switzerland because they have a lot of bomb shelters.
Yes, apparently 100% of population can go underground and hide. But I didn't mean like just like nuclear or war, safe. I just meant like safe from fascism and neo-Nazis and supporting and financing genocides. Yes.
Let's go on a positive note.
Yes, let's go positive note. Laugh. Ha ha ha.
Before we leave, what would be your best advice for yourself and for the people coming to Berlin to learn about Germany and to learn about themselves?
Ooh, rough.
We're on the positive note.
Yeah, on a positive note. Lower your expectations. Like with any city, when you're coming in or relationship, you think you're going to be like, wow, it's going to be amazing. You're bound to be disappointed. Berlin is kind of an understated beauty. I think if you're coming in just taking for what it is, you'll find a lot of good shit happening to you. But if you're also coming in with expecting that it's going to be like London or any other place, a big city, capital that you've been to, it's a totally different kind of game. So, yeah, be prepared. Don't do too much drugs, I would say. Explore your sexuality, sure. Shave your head, you know, we've all seen it. Get a nose piercing, a septum. I got one too. YOLO, while in Berlin, might as well.
Kat, thank you so much for being with us. It was such a pleasure talking to you. And I would love to go to one of your events and see you live in action. And hopefully I can see that in September.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
So ask a German, do you really laugh in a cellar? Because we always hear this when Germans come and they don't laugh at shows. They're like, but Germans laugh in their cellars. It's the same. So I'd be curious to know if you actually go home and you're like, that was a good one 3 hours ago.
Okay, so first and short answer, no, Germans do not literally descend into their basement to laugh in secret. But the saying, der geht zum Lachen in den Keller, or they go to the basement to laugh, is a very real part of German idiomatic language. This phrase is used to describe someone who always seems stern, serious, or emotionally restrained. It's a slightly teasing way of implying, if this person ever laughs, it must be alone and in private, because no one has ever seen it happen. The basement here symbolizes a place hidden from public view, dark, private, and a bit cold. Basically, the least joyful place you can think of. So, if you're accused of laughing in the basement, it means people suspect you have a sense of humor, They've just never seen it. But of course, the stereotype also touches on a broader cultural perception. Germans are often seen as less outwardly expressive than other cultures. Public cheerfulness or excessive small talk isn't necessarily expected or encouraged in German culture, especially in formal or work settings. Instead, restraint and a certain emotional privacy are often valued. That said, Germans do laugh, and often actually. Humor here tends to be drier, more sarcastic, or very context-based. Once you're in a more casual setting, at a Stammtisch, a barbecue, or even just among colleagues off the clock, German humor comes alive. The laughter might not always be loud or exaggerated, but it's very much present. So, next time someone drops that phrase, gehst du zum Lachen in den Keller, oder was? Remember, it's not about basements. It's about timing, setting, and the sometimes subtle way joy is expressed in Germany. Because yes, Germans do laugh. Maybe just not when or how you expected it.
That's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much for joining us. From Droberin's criticism of Berlin's digital naturalization process, I'm pretty sure that he has never had an appointment with the Ausländerbehörde. To the joys of staying home on Balkonien, we hope that today's story gave you something to think about and maybe even a smile. So big thank you to our guest Kat for keeping it real and of course hilarious as we unpack Berlin's love, nightlife and why the city can be both chaotic and also magical. Thank you also so much for Marlene to making this show happen. And if you are enjoying this episode, please don't forget to follow us on our social media and share the show with your friends. You can catch up on last and past episodes anytime at plus49.de or wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back next week with more stories, news, and cultural deep dives from across Germany. Until then, stay cool, stay curious, and don't forget to water your balcony plants. Hasta la próxima.